Good morning, everybody. Happy Sabbath again. I'm going to wake you up. All right. So, before I start the message, I want to just add something real quick. Well, of course, I'll have to throw out three quarters of my message since Ashish felt the need to preach my entire sermon. You notice even the scripture reading he threw in there too? I kept telling LJ, what is he doing? That's in there too. And then he said something that made me think, and I started to grab a pen and scribble the widow of Zarephath. And then he started talking to the widow. And I'm like, come on, taking everything. But, you know, if I could just add a quick background to that, as you know, we've got four units in here that service the sanctuary, 7-ton units, and one was completely dead. It was just gone. Our units were 25 years old, okay? Put in when we built this church in 95. And the pans were rotted out and starting to leak close to the sheetrock. So we were facing this need, and we didn't have a choice. And the only way we could was to take a loan for $42,000 and replace the AC system. And that's been done, and boy, that next week I knew it was done because it was cool in here. And I said, praise the Lord. But like anything else, I mean, you guys know the way our structure is, the tithe, the 10% we give, goes to the conference. That covers the ministers' salaries. When we do Texas Vision, it goes to the conference for church planting, etc. None of that is here. And just the local church budget is what we have to run the ministries we have, like Take Him to the Streets and the water bottle ministries and some of the other things we do, and then buying our supplies, our quarterlies, etc. So when we have something like this that's outside of what we're already kind of cutting it close with, we have to bring it to your attention and ask for the extra help. And that's why there was such a push on that this morning, so that you understand we would rather continue to be debt-free, you know, but we couldn't wait through August to raise the money and then put the AC in, because you guys would probably not stay and hear me preach sitting there fanning, right? So just keep that in mind. And with respect to the pledge cards, you know, for some of us, keeping up with the every month thing is not easy, or we're disorganized or whatever. And if you prefer to do a one-time donation, that's good too. So just keep that in mind. But remember, I know he covered this, when you are giving specifically to this cause, our air conditioned loan, write it on your tithe envelope. Because even if we think that's what you mean, we have to follow the guidelines on the envelope or the loose offerings and give it there, period. We don't get to make a judgment call on that. So as you feel moved to give towards the air conditioned project, be sure, if you're putting that in your tithe envelope, to mark it AC fund or something like that, okay? All right, let's have an opening prayer. Gracious Lord, this morning I ask that your Holy Spirit take over at this point, and I just stand here empty, waiting to be filled by you, and your Spirit speaks through me to me and to your people, the congregation, this morning. We know that this message that is about to be shared is what you have in store for us today, what you have planned for us, and we thank you for it, and I pray that we have willing hearts and ears to listen and to accept your truths. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, so to give or not to give, that is the question. Before I do, I want to share something with you, because as you know, when I prepare the message, I read a whole lot of stuff. I've told you that before. And a lot of it isn't even directly related, but it's so interesting I got to read it anyway. And I read something that I want to share with you just very briefly. Not part of the sermon, but boy, it's a whole other sermon in itself. Do you know that in China, they already are facing religious persecution and imprisonment? I read an article from 2016. A Baptist minister went on a mission trip to China, I think he said the Jiangsu province or something like that, and he took a train ride, 13-hour train ride, with 22 volunteers, Chinese citizens to go for training in, you know, spreading the gospel, doing Bible studies, etc. And they get there, and there's a room, 700 square foot, bare floor, wooden floor. That's the training center, right? And they're having to be kind of secretive about this, obviously. So all these folks are there, and then he realizes, I only have 15 Bibles and 22 trainees. So he hands out as best as he can, and he says, turn to 2 Peter, and he's ready to read, and he noticed one of the ladies hands her Bible to someone else. And he thought that was unusual, but okay. And they start reading, and he noticed she is reciting what he's reading, the entire chapter. Thought it was unusual. So afterwards, once he realized this, he called her on the side and said, how is it that you memorized the entire chapter? Not even knowing that's what we're going to talk about today. When they go against the government, religiously speaking right now, they're put in prison, okay? Matter of fact, he asked someone else there, what would happen if we're caught? And they said, within 24 hours, you will be deported. Within 24 hours, I'll be serving a 3-year sentence in prison, right? But she said, you know, if they bring us a Bible while we're in prison, it'll be confiscated. So they slip us little pieces of paper with the scriptures, the chapters written out, and we quickly memorize it because eventually they're going to find that paper. And they'll take it away, but they cannot take away what is in our hearts. This is 2 years ago, you know, and they memorized portions of the Bible. And that's interesting. When he was leaving, one of them asked him, the pastor, to pray for them to be more like him. So I guess to be more like missionaries. And the pastor said, no, I will not pray for you to be like me. I want to pray for me and my people to be like you. And it was interesting, and I want to share that part of it with you. He said, I looked at him and said, I will not do that. You guys rode a train for 13 hours to get here. In my country, if you have to drive more than an hour, people won't come. You sat on a wooden floor for 3 days. In my country, if people have to sit for more than 40 minutes, they leave. You sat here not only 3 days on a hard wooden floor. In my country, if it's not padded pews and air conditioning, people will not come back. In my country, we have an average of 2 Bibles per family, and we don't read any of them. You hardly have any Bibles, and you memorize them from pieces of paper. I will not pray that you become like us, but I will pray that we become just like you. So again, just a touch on our freedoms that we take for granted, our blessings that we take for granted. It is amazing that this Bible, I have many of them in my house. When I was 10, my parents gave me the big one with a picture of Jesus, and it's this thick and the gold on the outer edge. Hasn't been read, but it sure looks nice in my bookcase. It's cross continents, you know. I have an old one that's 41 years old next month, almost. And it's in pieces, falling apart. When I got to read New Testament, I just take that chunk out and read it, you know. And I have one NIV, and I have this one, and I have a couple others from the Revelation seminars. I don't read all of them, but I could probably walk through my house counting my kids' Bibles and find maybe a dozen Bibles. And you've got folks that can't get one, right? And if they had one, they'd get thrown in jail for having it. And it is so precious to them, right, that you compare me sitting down for a few minutes and reading the Bible to these people reading it so much that is completely committed to memory, completely. And that amazes me that we take just this for granted. Let's look again at our scripture reading. 2 Corinthians, give me a second, we got something here. 2 Corinthians, was it 9, verses 6 and 7, says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one of you must give as he has decided in his own heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, sometimes we may sit in the pews and think, why did Ashish have to talk so long? It was just an offering call. Oh, there they are asking for money again. You know, that's all these churches do is ask for money. It's interesting that God says, if you're not happy when you're giving, don't even bother. If you don't feel joy in giving right now, don't bother. I don't need your money. That's paraphrasing that scripture, okay? When we give, we should feel joy. So, as I said, Ashish stole my thunder on at least 3 pages, and that's okay, because it's been brought to my attention that I talk too long anyway. So it wouldn't hurt for me to take a page or two out as we go along. There's a story. You guys ever heard about the traveling circus? Nobody? Yeah, the circus goes from town to town. There's always going to be a strong man. There's always going to be a strong man in the circus. They wanted me to be the strong man, but said I was a little bit too short for the role. But look, in this one, the guy, the strong man, he takes a lemon, puts it here, and squeezes all the juice out of it. And he says, if anybody here can squeeze one more drop of juice out of this lemon, I'll give him $200. This little old lady comes up and takes the lemon, puts it between her bony, frail hands, and squeezes a teaspoon out of that lemon. He was shocked after he laughed. He gave her $200, and on the side he said, let me ask you something. How in the world are you that strong? How were you able to squeeze one more teaspoon out of that lemon? She said, oh, practice. I've been a church treasurer for 42 years. It made me think of Sister Grace Palmer, our longstanding treasurer. It was interesting. As I put this message together, I want to give credit to 2 articles that I used a good bit in this. TGC, the Gospel Coalition, 5 things you can give to God every day. They put that out December 30th, 2015. And then God Questions Ministries, compellingtruth.org, an article entitled Cheerful Giver, copyright 2011 to 2019. So, we're contemplating the topic of giving here, and in so doing, we have to address a few questions, okay? For example, to whom are we to give? Tell me, to whom are we to give? First and foremost, to God. And then who do we give to? Our brothers, our sisters, our fellow man, the needy. To whom do we give? What are we supposed to give? Everything we are blessed with in goods, but not just that. Our time, not just that. Our spiritual gifts, not just that. Our energy and our joy. Every time you hear give, you're going to think Malachi 3:10. Every time you hear give, you're going to think money. You really think God needs your money and my money? When you think that his son could take this plate with 2 fish and 5 pieces of bread and feed 5,000 people, I gotta say, God doesn't really need my 10%. He's giving me an opportunity to be part of the blessing. Where do we give? Huh? Where do we give? We give in the offering plate? We give at church? Where else? How about, let me make a plug for Brother Johnny. How about we give of our time when we go help in ministries, like after potluck today, take some of our time that was set aside for lay activities, Because let's face it, maybe we didn't have a big afternoon planned, and instead stand there and make some sandwiches, put together some packages, and go with Johnny and stand there and see dirty, homeless people, unshaved, unbathed, halfly clothed, sitting there looking way skinny, almost as skinny as I probably ought to look, but I don't miss a meal, and give to them. Where are we to give? For many, it is right here. We put that envelope in there, we've done our due diligence, right? If that's where you think you're supposed to give, you have not gotten below the surface of the scripture. You have read the Bible superficially if you think that's your giving. What God has asked of us is so much more. But don't think he has asked more in the sense that he's tasking us, he's burdening us, he's taking from us. And that's what we're going to get into a little bit in this message. When do we give? When do we give?
Sabbath morning.
Yeah. When else do we give? Come on, talk to me. Don't make me call names. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Do we give when we have a little extra? If the check is good enough, we give. If it's not, God will understand. God doesn't expect me to miss the house note and be out on the streets. He's an understanding God. So when I have extra, I will give. Yeah? Why should I give? I just said God doesn't really need my money. He fed 5,000 people with a plate of fish and bread. Why should I give? Maybe because it is my duty. Maybe because when God says, I command, I should listen. Maybe because God said, bring ye the tithe into my storehouse. Why? So I can put some more gold on the street in heaven? No. Bring ye the tithe into my storehouse that there might be meat in my house. The tribe of Levi, the priesthood, they served God. They didn't go out and work and earn money and build a house, etc. But they had to eat. They had to have shelter. They had to have clothing. They were part of God's household, if you will. Bring ye the tithe into my storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. But here's a real reason we should give. And if you don't know this already, I'm going to stop right there. The real reason we should give is because it creates joy in our own lives. When you can look at what you have financially and know it is not enough to make it to June 30th, you do the best you can, and you see somebody in dire straits, in deep need, and you can give, I promise you, it will put a smile in your heart. Can't explain it. I cannot explain it. But I promise you, it will put a smile in your heart. When you know what you have is just not enough, and if you just follow the status quo, you're going to fail, and you're going to be stressed, and you're going to be miserable, but the lights will still get cut off. There you are. What you going to do? It's your own fault. And you give, you can say, Lord, I tried. Help my brother, and I will smile. I will smile in the dark, but I will smile because they didn't get half of the light bill and still cut the light off. Somebody got a blessing for God. Now, that's a tall order, right? That's a tall order. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. Make sure that's not one Ashish already gave you. Matthew chapter 22. Amen. Looking at verse 34. Amen. Here we go. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. Then verse 39, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So answer the question, to whom do we give? We're past the money. I'll tell you right now. So to whom do we give everything? Our time, our attention, our devotion, our praise. To whom? To God, the first and the greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all your soul. That's everything. With all your might, with all your strength, with all your mind, with everything you have, love the Lord thy God. Why? Do you know why you were created? You were not a pet project. Tired of that one. Let's just create another earth and start over. You were created very uniquely in a very special setting for a very dedicated purpose, worshiping God. Worshiping God. That's why you were created. You were not created to become a multimillionaire. You were not created to become a football pro. You were not created to become a concert pianist. Those are all nice byproducts. You were created to serve the God who created you. When you learn that and you accept that, you can get beyond the how much they want, how much of my time they want. They want me to volunteer for something else. Then you can get beyond that and understand that your purpose is to serve God. Your purpose is to worship God. Your purpose is to give what you are to God. But he didn't stop there. Jesus himself said this. This wasn't Peter talking. This wasn't John the Baptist talking. This was not Elijah talking. Jesus said, the second commandment is you love your neighbor like you love your cousin, like you love your uncle, just the same way you love yourself. And I got to tell you, I love myself. I can't lie. I love myself. When I go to Whataburger, I get the double quarter with the cheese, and I water size it. I love myself. I treat myself good. How do I treat my fellow man? How do I treat my brother? How do I treat the stranger that God made? That I don't know that well, but what I know is that God made him. That makes him my equal. That makes him my brother. That makes her my sister. That makes them my responsibility. How do I treat them? Do I treat them like I treat me? Look at Malachi 3:10 for a second. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Famous verse, if you will. And it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And it goes on beyond that. Prove me now herewith, says who? The Lord of hosts, if I, who? The Lord of hosts, God, our creator, the king of the universe. If I, he says, will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out, what? A blessing. That blessing is so big, so beyond our comprehension, we don't even have room to receive it. That's what it says. That's what we always read. But let me get you to back up for a second. Read a little more than that. Verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." I am the Lord. I started loving you. I don't change. And that's why you're not destroyed. You hear that? It's a good thing God doesn't change. Even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation, when he was speaking to Israel. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the window of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. But let's go on now to verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Get faithful with God. He says, if you're right with me, I will be right with you. If you return to me, I will return to you. You hear that? And then, if we get to that point, you and God, guess what? I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will back Satan up for your sake. You hear that? And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And finally, verse 12, and all nations shall call you blessed. Get right with God, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. That's big. That's so much more than just 10% tithes, isn't it? That is humongous. That is God saying, turn back to me. You've gone astray. Turn around. You've drifted from the path. Come back to me. I'm waiting. And if you come back to me, I'm right here with you. And if we are together, I will hold Satan up. He cannot hurt you. Now, he might inflict some disease on me. He might take my money away. He might take my house away. He cannot touch my salvation unless I let him. He cannot take my inheritance in heaven unless I let him. God promised that in Malachi 3. Get right with me. I will stop the devourer. I will rebuke him. He cannot touch you. And everything you do will be blessed. Everywhere you go will be blessed. I will bless you. Your land will be a delightsome land. Isn't that what we want? We do a good job of keeping ourselves in misery, though, I'll just tell you. So I want to challenge you to think about this. God says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye the tithes. We know it's 10%. All through Deuteronomy, it'll tell you that. A tenth is required of you. Here's the challenge. After you've paid what is required of you, you still have 90% of what is not even yours, what is not even mine. God gave me the ability to do my job. I'll tell you what, if right now I lost my sight, I can't see, I can't type a quote up and know what I typed. I can't drive down to my customer and deliver it. I can't close the deal. I can't get a paycheck without God blessing me with the ability to do that. So that other 90% that I say is mine is God's. You hear what I'm saying? So out of my 90%, here's a challenge. How much do I love God and my fellow man? The two great commandments. Like Ashish said, is it going to be 2%? 3%? How much do I love God? Not a question I want you to answer right now, but a question I want you to take to heart. And here's the truth. I'm going to look around. Show of hands, which one, because you don't have to see me to answer this, which one of you is blind, completely blind? Show me your hand. No one. Everyone can see. Everyone can look outside and see that sun shining bright. Everyone can see the water tumultuous over a waterfall coming down a mountain. Everyone can see a little baby laughing in innocence. Everyone can see. Do you know that God blessed you with that? And that's not your right? Talk to someone who cannot see. Talk to someone who was born blind and has never seen a colorful flower a day in their entire life. Never once. They depend on someone to hold their hand out so they can do like this and go where they need to go. Talk to that person and then tell me how difficult and deprived and sacrificed is your life. Tell me how much you have given up in this life. Okay? When you wake up in the morning and you swing your legs off and you stand up like this, on your own 2 feet, and your brother down the street has to get into his wheelchair off of his bed, how difficult is your life? How much are you lacking, really, when you can get up and walk on your own 2 feet down the street at will? Is God really asking too much of you then? If he's given you these things that we don't even think about, is he really asking too much of you? Half a page. Thanks, Ashish. Just like that. As I leave that half a page, I'm going to share this one thought. Energy. What's energy? Huh? Not scientific. We know. Give me some formula here. Energy is your joy, your exuberance, right? Do you have energy? Is that rain? I thought that wasn't supposed to rain until next week. All right. Think about your energy. It's your vibrance. It's your life. It's your exuberance, right? When you give to God of your time, you give him your positive energy, your best energy. You hear what I'm saying? What are you talking about, Brother Marcus? Whatever I give to God, he's going to take it and bless it and multiply it, right? Well, let me ask you something. If you give God grudgingly, does God want to take that and bless it and multiply it? He tells you very clearly, you better be cheerful when you give. That's what I want from you, your joy when you give. Not just your money, your time. When you give me your time, do it with joy in your heart. That's what God wants from you. You come here today and you put in 3 hours, right? That's how we say it. Man, I put in a good 3. It's like you're at work. I put in 8 hours today. Oh, man, I put in 12. What a day. They better pay me my time and a half. You know, you put in your 3 hours today. Think about that. Think about this. When Jesus was in the wilderness before the big ministry, how long was he out there? 40 days in the desert alone. No McDonald's in sight for 40 days. And all he's doing is talking to his Father all day, all night, praying, asking, begging. Lord, this is a big, big ministry. This is a big responsibility. There's a lot that's about to happen to me in the next couple of years. Help me, Father. Give me strength. Protect me. Help me to be able to do this. How much time do you, in any one given segment, do that? How many times do you, in the course of a week, stop and say, Lord, I know you're coming back soon. Everybody believe that? I know, Jesus, you're coming back soon. I know I got to get ready. I know I got to get people ready. I got to tell them they're missing the boat. I got to tell them they don't have that much time. I know, God, but they're going to laugh at me. They're going to tell me I'm weird. God, help me to have thicker skin. Help me to do this, Lord. And I don't know how to talk to them. I don't even know the Bible that well, Lord. Help me. How much time do we put into asking God to use us? Because that's what you're doing. Asking God to use you. How much effort? Well, check this out. In a day, God gives you 24 hours. Amen? If we say, according to the formula, God requires 10%, that's 2.4 hours. Round that up to 2.5 hours. So each and every day, maybe that's telling me I need to dedicate 2.5 hours of my life to God. Hey, I didn't read that in the Bible. I'm extrapolating from Malachi 3:10. But let's just say, God gives me 24 hours. I can go to work for 8 hours and earn money so I can buy toys. I can sit in bed and watch 3 episodes, 45 minutes apiece. What's that, 2 hours, 25 minutes, or something like that. God let me do that. I can go to the movies. I can do this. I can go there. I can do whatever I want. God gave me 24 hours to do this today. Can I give him 2.5 hours of my time in service and in praise, in service and in worship? Think about that, because this is no joke. You can wake up in the morning and say a 1.2-minute prayer, your morning prayer, hit the ground running, and the day gets away from you. You can get home in the evening. Oh, let me not forget, at lunchtime, you prayed over the food, 10 seconds. You get home in the evening, and maybe you put 30 minutes into family worship and reading the Bible, etc. And then you're done with God. It's time for my sleep, and then I'll do it all again tomorrow. Rinse and repeat. What if you actually said, I want to give God 10% of my time. I want to give his ministry 10% of my time. So what I'm going to do is accept the responsibility of personal Bible study twice a week. That's 2 hours of my time that I'm going to study with someone who is a new member or interested in becoming a member. I don't know. I'm just guessing here, right? And you start putting real time into God's people, into that second commandment, the second great commandment. Let me rephrase that. Love your neighbor as yourself. What if we start doing that? Because let me tell you something. I'm the first to admit I'm busy. Rick will tell you he's busier than I am. I don't know how he works as much as he does, because I sure don't. I'm not even interested in working that much. You know, we take care of ourselves. It's what we do. But the truth is, we don't think about what could happen to us until it happens to us. And then we turn to God. Lord, save me. Lord, save me from this tragedy. Lord, I got a family to take care of. Lord, help me to get beyond whatever this accident has done to me so I can get back to work and get back to taking care of my family. Please, God, heal me. Please, God, save me. But all along, that's not that important. We just take the blessing for granted. You hear what I'm saying? At what point do we say, Lord, I get it. I'm here for service. I get it, God. You made me in your image to serve you. I get that, Lord. And you let me do all these fun things that I want to do, and you ask me to come to the garden and talk to you. Lord, I've been busy, but I get it. And really, that's going to help me. I see that. That's going to help me not help you. You know? So, all right, Lord, I'm going to listen. I'm going to put a little bit more time, focus time, into finding you, into building a relationship with you. You guys ever heard of mail order brides? Johnny's like, he's making this up as he goes. I am. I actually am. Mail order brides. You look it up, the profile, like it, I'll buy that. You buy a bride from Russia, whatever. I've heard about this stuff. How well do you know this person? Do you think you really are deeply, passionately in love with this person? No. It takes time and communication and sacrifice and giving more of yourself to come to that point where you appreciate that person, where you really love that person, where you want to have a life forever with that person. It is no different with the Lord. You can't say, I know Jesus, I'm good with Jesus, and not put time in to talking to him, to spending with him, to praising him, to praying, to singing. You don't put time, you don't grow. Even the little kids know that better than me and you. Even the little ones know that better. How's it go? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. And then they turn around and tell you, Mom and Dad, forget your Bible, forget to pray, and you shrink, shrink, shrink. Even our little kids know that, but we have forgotten. We have forgotten. This sermon has gone way beyond just the money thing now. This is about our time and our dedication to God. And yes, I will admit, I'm making it up as I go. What else should we give? What if I told you should give your joy? You ever heard that? What if I told you, not just your time, but your joy? What if I said, give your joy, not just to God, although most especially to God, but also to people? Give them your joy. What if I told you it's a joy? It is a joy to give somebody a change of clothing. Look, in my closet, I don't know about your closet, but I'm going to tell you about my closet. There's a bar this wide and this wide, and they overlap. In my other closet, and you guys know I live by myself there, both closets are mine. There's this much, and it overlaps this much. Full of clothes. I would guess maybe 20% fit me. I'll hang on to the rest with this false hope that one day I will fit these clothes. Can you ever see me fitting my size 32 jeans again? Not gonna happen, but I got them in there. And let's be honest, we go down the road and we see a dirty guy in the same pants on the same street corner that he was last week. And I don't mind giving him the clothes, but it's the time it takes to do this. It's inconvenient. And it's kind of awkward. He's on the street corner, it's busy and all. You have no idea the joy he experiences getting clean, fresh, brand new pants. No idea. And he's skinny enough to fit them 32s with it hanging on his hip still. But I'm hanging on to it because it's mine, and one of these days I'm going to get back in shape. I'm going to watch Rocky III again, and I'm going to get back in shape. Right? Give your joy. You have no idea when I've eaten so much that I got to lean back. You guys think I tip that seat back in on my cars because it's cool. I got to lean back after lunch. And there's people that go for days in our own country with no food. Can you believe that? They go for days in Texas, for days without eating food. That is, it's almost saying it sounds unbelievable. And you buy them a hot meal. This has crossed my mind so many times that I've never done it. I have never stopped the guy on the street and say, hey, take a break from your panhandling. Let me buy you a meal. And sit down with him and talk to him. It's weird. I know it sounds weird just saying it. And find out that he is a U.S. vet, that he's dealt with PTSD, that he has no home, that he can't go back to his family. I don't know. I just see him as a dirty bum on the corner. Give your joy to somebody. You hear what I'm saying? Not just your money. Give your joy, give your time, give a blessing to somebody. Paul said in Philippians 4, 10 to 20, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am, says Paul, to be content. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many times we recite that one verse and don't realize those three that just accompanied it before it came out? We learn to be content when we have plenty. We learn to still say thank you, Lord, when we ain't got nothing. Right? Because the reason I can do that is because Christ can strengthen me in all things, in all situations, in any point in my life. If I lean on God, he takes care of me. When I'm flat broke and have no food, God takes care of me. Somehow, God takes care of me. I remember 20-something years ago, brand new family. My son was maybe 2 years old. You know, you got the car note and you pay the rent, and times are tough. And somebody from this church drove up to my house and handed me an envelope, no joke, no reason for it, with $1,000 in it. He's moved from this church many, many years ago, living elsewhere. But I've never forgotten that. I've never forgotten that. Today, my son is 23. So this was 21 years ago. You know, when you are in need, you only see it when it finally gets right in front of your face. God saw it coming a mile back, and he already worked out a way for you. It's amazing how much God cares for us, more than we care for our own selves. Verse 14, nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. And that's interesting. That's an interesting verse. Again, one we don't read. No church shared with me. Isn't that what churches do? Take care of people in need. And he says, there I was and nobody was helping me. But you guys remembered me and you took up an offering and you helped me. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. You hear that? Not that I seek the gift. I seek the gift that abounds to your account. Because Paul knows when you help God's people, the blessing is yours. God is already working out a bigger blessing for you. Can you imagine that? So Paul is saying, I'm not worried about the need. Thank you for this offering. I'm joyful about this offering because the blessing is going into your account. God is going to take care of you. For those that are falling asleep, I promise you we are almost done. We are so close, and you have Ashish to thank for that. All right. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I remember a long time ago. My brother Rick will remember this. New to the school, I would fight my instructor, Reg. And in my mind, I can take him. In my mind, I can take him. And I would go after him, and I don't know how he would do this, but he would place a kick right here, and I would just fold like a towel. But not just that, I can't breathe. You know, I'm trying to breathe, and I can't breathe. And then I'd go after him again, and somehow he'd punch me in my eye. I'm like, where did that fist come from? And I would keep going. I would keep going. I can take him. I've never taken him. You know, I'll tell you what. I do not understand how God has so much. I do not understand how God does so much. When I think I can handle it, and I fall flat on my face, can't even catch my breath, there is God picking me up saying, let me show you how. Sets me back on my feet, turns me this way and says, walk this way. When I think I can handle it myself and I fall, there is always a Savior grabbing me by the back of the arm here and picking me up. And I forget after a little while and I think, just like I would think I would get back in the ring with Reg, I think I can take him this time. And I go after the world on my own strength. And I fall again. I get knocked down again. And that same Savior reaches behind my elbow here, picks me up again. Over and over and over, we face this world throwing stuff at us, don't we? I mean, which one of you guys living in a mansion on the hilltop already? Right. So we're facing trials and tribulations in this world. Like Ashish said, the more we have, we think that fixes the problem. It creates more problems the more we have. This world tells you, get more, have more, and forgets to tell you when you do, you better realize there's a whole lot more heartache coming with it. But I will tell you this. You pick up the Word of God, and it has never lied. God is so honest with you. He tells you when you messed up. And he tells you you're going to face some heartache for that. You're going to pay the consequence of your sin. God is so honest with me. when it comes to that. But he tells me at the same time, it hurts me more than it hurts you. And that's the truth. When you sin and you fall, you break the heart of God. And it is going to hurt you in whatever consequence you face, but it hurts God exponentially more because he paid such a great price for you to have the freedom to break his heart. Luke 6:30, it says, "Give, it shall be given unto you." Is that all it says? Listen to what Luke 6:38 says. "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you made, withal it shall be measured to you again." You want to squeeze and give about 1 or 2% to God? You're going to get back 1 or 2%. You open up your heart and you take care of God's people and you give more. God's math works with exponents, not just basic at adding 2 plus 2. That's how God works, okay? Because 2 plus 2 is 4, plus 2 is 6. But 2 times 2 is 4, times 2 is 8. That's how God's math works, in exponents. And the more you give, the more God blesses you. The more you give, the more God gives back. And we don't measure giving or getting in just dollars. Dollars is nothing. We created that, okay? We measure it in what God gives us. He gives us life. He gives us breath. He puts food on the table. He keeps a roof over the head. He clothes us. He gets us a job. When we don't have a job, he gets brothers and sisters who will be there to back us up and help us through that hard time. God is always there. God always reaches up. He always touches your heart. That's the God that I serve. I don't know what God you serve today, but that's the one I'm serving. You hear? And I'm not worried about what little bit I have or how much I have. I'm just worried about how is God looking at me right now? How is God looking at me right now? Am I doing right by God? That's what's most important. There was a story told of a father took his son to, of all places, they call it the Golden Arches. Why do I like that? I don't know. Buys them the large fries. And boy, he's going through them fries, dipping in the barbecue sauce, dipping the other one in the sweet and sour sauce. He's happy. And dad reaches over and takes one fry. He's like, "Why don't you get your own, dad? These are my fries." Right? Can you see that little boy saying that to dad? It's like, "It's my fries." Let me tell you something. That's exactly what we say to God. God bought all the fries for you and brought some sauce to the table and asked for 10%, and you can't give him one fry. Huh? How is that different? If we learn to remember that everything we have is by the hand of God, and that all we have is God's gift to us, he doesn't need that one French fry. Dad didn't need that one fry. He was trying to be in the moment with his son and share in what his son was enjoying, right? God doesn't have a need, per se, for your 10%. He's sharing in your joy and in your success. You hear that? In giving back to God, in giving to your fellow man, how much is enough? Do not answer that question. But let me tell you something. When you look in the mirror, nobody looks in the mirror and says, "Man, you ugly." Even if I'm ugly, I still think I look good, right? When you look in the mirror, you see the truth. You hear me? So I'm going to tell you this. You look in God's mirror. And you ask yourself, am I doing enough for God? I know God doesn't need me. He's including me. And since he's included me, am I doing enough for God? Look in the mirror. Ask yourself this question. But I'll tell you what, you better be prepared for the answer, because in that mirror, you get the truth. Amen? Amen. And if you honestly look in the mirror when you get home and you say, "Do I do enough for God? In terms of what he's asked me for." God asked me to take care of the widows, right? God asked me to take care of the orphans, right?
God asked me to reach a dying world where they don't even know what his son has done and tell them, even though every day is hopeless to you, there's going to come a day when you get to go home to heaven if you want the Son of God in your life. And forever and ever, amen, you will experience joy and fullness. God has asked me to do that. Has he asked you to do that? That's the charge. Go ye therefore to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Yes? Teaching them for a witness, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You have a charge. God has asked me, and when I look in the mirror, I got to say, honestly, am I giving enough back to God from what he's given to me? And you answer that question yourself. In closing, I will reread a scripture that Ashish shared with you. Mark 12:41-44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Jesus was watching on the side while everybody was putting their offerings, while everybody was paying their tithe, right? Many rich people threw in large amounts, he said. Put that in perspective real quick. Let's say this month I made $200,000. There's people in America that do that, and then some. Between you and Ashish, how many times y'all gonna just take my spotlight here? I'm just kidding. Where was I? $200,000. Right. And I hear that this AC system, we took a loan for $42,000. So I'm going to give the church $42,000, and I'm going to keep $158,000 for myself. You hear what I'm saying? So the rich are giving. This is what Jesus is reading and what Jesus is saying. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples. So let me call all of you guys in here right now. Not that I'm saying I'm Jesus, I'm just saying as a speaker. Jesus said, he's calling all of his disciples to him. Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. $42,000, $50,000, $10,000, $250, $75. And if all you have to give to God is a dollar, but that really is all you have, you gave more than the rest of them. That is the way Jesus looks at it, I'm telling you. Not the way man looks at it, but the way Jesus looks at it. This woman had two copper coins worth a few cents. That's all it was. And that is all she had. And quietly bent over without everybody seeing. Maybe she's a little embarrassed that she doesn't have as much as they do to give. And she drops that in there. So the people that saw it didn't think anything of it because it's a couple of coins. But somebody saw it. Who? Jesus, the Son of God, saw, and he knew. He read her heart. He read her mind. He read her life. And he knew how much she just gave. Everything. And I got to tell you, if you want God to give everything for you, and he did already 2,000 years ago, are you prepared to give everything for God? They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything, all she had to live on. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, I thank you this morning for the blessings in my life. Not just financial, but so many blessings in my life. When you protect my family and my children, when you look after the people of your church, the elderly with health problems, when you keep a job for me, when you get me through to and fro without wrecking my car, you're always blessing me and taking care of me. And I want to say thank you, Lord. I know I don't give back enough. I won't give back much for that matter.
but I pray that you will guide me in the ways that I can find and determine for myself how I can serve you better, how I can serve you more. In the name of Jesus.